The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw the large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each one of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Good morning to everybody. So, advanced apologies. If you were at yesterday's Mass, you're going to hear kind of the same homily, version 2.0, because in all honesty, I prepared the Sunday's homily first in my brain, and then I saw Saturday's, and the readings were really similar, so I just kind of went with it. So, you know what? Maybe God wants you to hear it twice, which was good because I was beating the people up anyway. So here goes. I'm going to base the homily on the reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. So what's the story? First of all, St. Paul is doing what he's good at, which is getting thrown in jail. I don't know how many times in his life he got thrown in prison, but he's doing it again. He wrote the letter to the Ephesians when he was in the prison in Rome, roughly in the year 60 to 62, somewhere in there. You know, that's what the scholars say. We never know anything for sure, but kind of more or less. And first of all, you know, being in a prison in St. Paul's time was not like being in a prison today. He didn't get a bed and a color TV and hot water, okay? It's like, there's a stone floor and we're going to throw you a piece of bread and maybe some water and enjoy. You know, that's it. Yeah, it was not a place you want to be. So Paul is in there, and instead of pouting about, "Oh, they're treating me so badly, I'm just trying to preach the gospel of Christ, and why are they so mean?" Paul is not even really concerned about himself. He knows he's in God's hands, and his only concern when he's in prison is, how are the churches that I founded doing? Are they keeping the faith? Are they staying strong? Are they learning to know and to love Christ? And so he tells them something that I think we all need to hear. And again, when I'm preaching to all you people, this is not a me, I'm great, and you're all bad kind of a homily. This is, okay, I'm first of all preaching to myself, and then all of you, okay? So, you know, it's, I'm part of this deal. It says, "Brothers and sisters, I urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received." And this is the point. St. Paul is saying, it's not enough for you to go to Mass and to pray the rosary and to be in 3 different church groups and to be a Eucharistic minister and to, you know, have devotion to who knows what. We need those things, especially the sacraments. We need the sacraments. There's no doubt about it. If we're not praying and we're not nourishing ourselves on the things where we're going to receive direct contact with God and His grace, we're not going to be able to live the faith. But he says that there is a worthy a manner of living that is worthy of what we have received. So he's saying, When we pray and we go to Mass and do all these things, it has to change us. We can't just leave the church and, okay, now I went to the church and I felt good, and now I'm going to go out and 2 minutes later in the parking lot, I'm going to be gossiping and complaining and judging and angry because nobody in Yonkers knows how to drive, which is true. But anyway, that shouldn't get you angry. If we find ourselves constantly whining and feeling sorry for ourselves, which, by the way, we've gotten to be very good at that in the last few years. I don't know where this came from. Actually, I do know. That's a whole other homily. This parenthesis. If you go through life being offended by everything, the problem is not everything. The problem is you. Okay? And that's kind of the point of this homily. What St. Paul is saying is the gospel message, the sacraments, the things that we receive, our contact with God has to make us holy. And if you want to put it in one word, ultimately it's for this. Every single thing that God has given us, the church, the sacraments, the incarnation of the Son of God, sacred scripture, every devotion that you can think of, and even los carismáticos, okay? All of that has one goal. To help us to love. The only reason you and I exist is so that God can reveal himself to us so that we can know him and love him and be transformed in a certain sense into him so that we can become godlike. We become reflections of him, image and likeness of God. And what happens though, I think, is very easily, okay, you're all gonna start laughing. Get ready. We read this gospel, and we read these letters of St. Paul and all this stuff, and we think, amen, Father Eric, I wish everybody else. Wouldn't the world be great if everybody else in the parish, if everybody else in my family just lived this? Okay? Okay, this is a spoiler alert. When you go to your judgment, Jesus is not going to ask you what your spouse did, what your children did, what your cousins did, what your boss did, what Father Elio did. Certainly not going to ask what Father Eric did, because we know that's already bad. None of that, okay? Christ is going to say, what did you do? So when we read these things, the gospel and the gospel message, and all the things that God has given us, if we simply make this resolution, I don't care how everyone else is living it, in a sense, okay? You have to take care of your children, but I'm not going to get worked up emotionally about how other people are living this or not. How am I responding to Christ? That's the only thing ultimately that's going to matter in your judgment. And if every person in the parish decided, hey, you know what? Instead of worrying about everybody else and what they're doing or not doing, I'm going to start worrying about, am I loving? Am I, here comes the big word, humble. Ooh, am I humble? How am I responding to God's grace? Everything else will work itself out. St. Paul, he says, I urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you've received. What's the first thing he mentions? With all humility. You want to know why we freak out? Why we get worked up about stupid things? And frankly, now that I've been back here, this is not to tell you not to come to me, because frankly, you know, I'm a priest, I want to be available, I want you guys to be able to unload and all that stuff. But even in the last 2-3 days, I've been here, and people come and just start unloading, and I'm listening, and I'm thinking, are you an adult? You look like you're 50 and you sound like you're 5. Why are you getting so worked up about this? Okay? What does that mean? We are wounded and we are proud. That is the root right there. Okay? With all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. Okay, this is where I'm accusing myself. Bearing with one another. If I'm accusing you in the homilies, I'm not bearing with you. Okay. Anyway, I will go to confession later. Bearing with one another through love, striving to persevere the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You know, there's one example out there that I think the saints always give us multiple examples up to the point of martyrdom and everything. But one saint, one example that I always thought was striking. Put yourself in this guy's shoes. You know Don Bosco? You've heard of him? Founder of the Salesians? Okay. He was a priest in the late 1800s. Don Bosco, Italian guy in the north of Italy. Back then, in the north of Italy, there were a lot of poor people, and a lot of the kids basically joined gangs because there were no other alternatives for them, so, you know, kind of sound familiar. So Don Bosco is the mafia, but it's the same thing. Don Bosco would create schools and homes and stuff, especially for the boys, so that he could take care of them and give them a good Christian formation, and they could, you know, grow up and become saints and responsible contributors to society, and et cetera, et cetera. So in order to do that, just like me, he always had to go around knocking on doors. Hello, I'm begging. He went around, and he was a very good fundraiser. He was begging because he had orphanages and all this stuff for his boys. So one time he knows there's this wealthy guy, and he goes up to his house and knocks on the door. The guy opens up the door, and Don Bosco starts saying, "Please, sir, you know, I've got this orphanage." The guy spits straight in his face, slams the door. Now, had that happened to many people that I know in this parish, I would be, "I was just going, trying to help, and I was trying to do Jesus' work, and this is, and if he's going to do that, I don't think it's fair, and I'm just going to quit, and okay." What did Don Bosco do? He simply knocked on the door again. He said, "Okay, that was for me. Now give me something for my kids." And the guy did. And the guy eventually turned into one of his best benefactors. He turned into his cash cow, okay? Because of the humility of a Don Bosco, God blessed that humility, that faith and humility. God used that to open up the guy's heart. If Don Bosco would have said, I'm gonna sit on your doorstep and I want to tell you something, and I'm going to boycott, and I'm going to... The guy wouldn't have ever been converted. The guy would have been worse and worse and worse. It was because Don Bosco had faith and was humble that this man was converted and supported the cause and helped who knows how many boys, you know, get off the streets and do all this stuff. So it just occurred to me that would be a good example for all of us, okay? I don't ask any of you to spit in my face. I may not react as well as Don Bosco. But I think we should ask ourselves, okay, when I do not get respected, and it's not to say that, first of all, don't go around disrespecting people, okay? What I'm talking about is when it comes to me. When I feel I have not been disrespected, what is my response? Maybe it's unjust what is happening to you. Okay, there are two words that you can respond to that. Somebody treated me badly and it's unjust. The response to that is, so what? So what? Did they treat Jesus justly? Imagine if the first time that the whip came down on him, he starts, "I don't think this is fair because I'm the Son of God and I'm just doing this for your sake, and all I've been doing is for 3 years trying to take care of you people," and then you're... No. No. Christ himself tells us, and all of this, the New Testament writers tell us, when those things happen to us, when we are trying to live our faith well and we're treated unjustly, either at work or whatever, in our family or whatever, we should rejoice. We should rejoice. Christ is giving us an opportunity. He says, "You guys say that you want to be saints. Here it is. It's on a platter. I'm giving you the chance right now. Here's your opportunity to grow in holiness." That's not the way I want to grow in holiness. I want to grow in holiness by lots of big emotions every time I go in front of the Blessed Sacrament so that I can cry and I can feel like a saint. Okay, fine. Then you will not grow in holiness. You will be pious, but you won't be a saint because it doesn't change you. The gospel has to change our hearts. So, I'm done abusing all of you because, like I said, in the end of the day, I have to look in the mirror, and everything I just said, I have to apply to myself, and it's getting rough, so I better quit now. So, good to be back. I would give you an update on Father Donald, but Fabiola sees him more often than I do, so you can talk to Fabiola afterward. But I saw Father Donald yesterday. He's looking better, not great, but better, and the doctors are still trying to figure out exactly what's going on, what the cause is. But, you know, he's in good spirits and everything, so keep him in your prayers. Father and Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.